Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course, that's the name of the show.
Football,
the other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got a mighty hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games, and you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Where will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss with grin the bridges. We do some good interviews, and you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? And you love this podcast too.
Welcome back to the latest edition of our Mountain West Connection Week 5 recap. Jeremy here, hanging out with Chris. So what's going on the late Monday night with you?
Well, it's only 8 o'clock, and I have a headache, and I'm sore.
Recovering from your weekend, of course?
Well, yeah, that and looking at all the box scores gives me a headache.
Awesome weekend, right? Awesome.
Awesome. Mostly awesome.
Mostly awesome. Yeah. Again, just check us out real quick. Obligatory shout out to where you can view our written topics, MWCConnection.com. Same on Twitter, MWCConnection. And this weekend, I think, as we discussed before, I think we tend to overvalue everything about the league. Is that about right?
Well, part of it, it's because it's our job. But I think we actually had so much hope for some of these teams, and it's pretty much essentially backfired on us.
Is there any team we accurately predicted at this point?
UNLV, maybe?
Maybe. I could see Nevada, because we thought they would be an okay team.
Fresno?
I would say Fresno, but...
Okay. Record-wise,
yes,
Fresno. But... holy crap, man. Secondary.
Is it legal yet to put 12, 13 guys in the field?
Still wouldn't help Fresno.
Yeah, help Fresno. This is not our midseason show, which we may mess around and do something like that next week. But let's just get into it. Friday night, we thought this... Who predicted the blowout? Was it you or me? I'm honestly not trying to say...
correctly. I want to say that I predicted the blowout.
Okay, I think you predicted the blowout. I don't recall. I think I predicted about 2 touchdowns. And, well, Chucky Keaton is perfectly fine at playing college football.
Chucky Keaton is Chucky Keaton.
Yeah, this game, it also proves, here's a score, 40-12, Utah State smokes San Jose State on the road. Pretty much the same result as last season, which, and I think we can say we overvalued San Jose State a little bit this much.
No, definitely we overvalued them. But, I mean,
but not
on our behalf, though, they have had some serious injury problems this year.
Yeah, they've lost Vince back here? Is that his name?
Vince Bougier.
Bougier, yeah. Again, names are not my forte there, so don't be mad at me for that.
They've lost Vince Bougier. They've lost Noah Grigsby. Lost Ben Wickery.
Well, that was this past game. He went off.
That was this past game, but I think he went down with some sort of like minor injury before.
I'm not sure, but in this game, basically he... it's taken off the cart and the stretcher. His helmet flew off, neck braced, whole 9-yard stretcher. If anybody saw BYU play Utah's when Jamal Williams, like, a basic, not a basic, but a, a neck injury, taking all the precautions, making sure, putting a neck brace. He kind of waved a little bit off the field, but that's just a scary injury. Any neck, he hit his mid dive.
No, it's extremely scary. And, I mean, that's the kind of thing that not only could end your career, but really could end, I mean,
more than that.
I don't want to say end life as you know it, but completely alters how you live.
Yeah, I'm actually looking for an update, which you probably should have done just before we mentioned the injury thing here. That probably would have been the smart thing to do. So we'll pull up that in a little bit here. But basically, on the game itself, David Fells, it doesn't matter who's – he's a legit NFL quarterback. It doesn't matter.
You know what? He's a legit NFL quarterback. He might be a legit NFL first-round quarterback.
That's what he was during the offseason. The guys over mocking the draft had him, I think, at number 20 or mid to late third first round behind, like, Teddy Bridgewater and Taj Boyd. I think he's the third quarterback. And really quick, Benet Benwicker had a concussion and left the hospital Friday night. So he's doing okay, so we'll see. I don't know if he'll miss a game or two, but he should be okay, it seems like. But, yeah, as for Fails Missy Nolgersby, who's what? Not just the best receiver in the WAC last year, probably one of the best in the country. And do we still know his injury? Because Ron Carragher is pretty much putting the vault onto the injury talk.
Not as far as I know.
I think it's an ACL, so he could come back next year. But man, Grigsby did fine, but they have nothing else. Well, they got receivers, obviously.
Here's the thing. Even with nothing else. And it's unfortunate that David Fales couldn't turn his two interceptions into touchdowns. But even with nothing else, David Fales still completed for 314 yards on the night. That's a lot of yards. That's not a lot of scoring.
Yeah, but it barely 50%.
You got to do better than that. I mean, I've got the box score here in front of me, but I don't know how many of those were drops either.
True. I'm not sure either, but they don't have a running game. Jason, that's another player out. I think they're starting running back. It's been so long. It's been, a couple weeks, but he's out too. So Jason Simpson, nothing. 3 yards a carry, nothing, nothing, nothing. I don't know what to do. Utah State's offense, Strucky Keaton, he'd even have an amazing game. Okay, three touchdowns. Obviously, that's very good.
No, he didn't. In terms of completion and how he's been playing, with the exception of last week, he didn't have a usual game, but that being said, compared to last week, he did have a very good bounce back game.
Four total touchdowns, rushed for 52 yards, which is about what he does on the year, close to there. He threw for 260, but he needed a lot of passes. But the main thing this game was, we were always saying Utah State secondary, it's not very good. It hasn't been all that great. They pick off Fells twice. It took them 48 passes to get to 314 yards, completing less than just over half of those. So this is a good game for the secondary. Yeah, they gave up a lot of yards, but only gave up 6.5 yards an attempt. And I think that's pretty good, in my opinion, for doing that. They held, again, San Jose State had red zone issues again. They kicked a 26-yard field goal. 26 yards. That is placed at, the 9-yard line? Yep.
9-yard line.
9-yard
line,
and then,
so the 9-yard line.
Then a 31-yard field goal in the first quarter.
So a 14-yard line. Red zone.
Come on, punch it in.
They've had this issue for the last 3 weeks now.
All season, not 3 weeks. The whole year, man.
Okay, well, essentially, yeah. Fine.
I'm just saying, that people are complaining that Sacramento State game, they should have put, more points on there. But they moved the ball decently. They went 10 for 20 on third downs, 28 first downs for San Jose State here, speaking of. They just couldn't run the ball, and that's all it came down to. Utah State's defense stepped up, and Chucky Keaton scored four touchdowns. And it could have been worse because Utah State kicked three field goals, two within 30 yards.
So let me ask you a question.
Proceed.
So San Jose State right now is 1-3.
Correct.
We have – I'm going to go ahead and say they have – I'm looking at their schedule right now. One, two,
three. Is this Bowl or No Bowl for San Jose State?
They have three more. They have at least three more winnable games. I'm not giving a bowl game or no bowl game.
Not yet.
They really have to wake up if they want to make a bowl game. But is this a combination? I mean, is this the San Jose State of old that we're seeing here, or is this a just really bad luck combined with some bad decision making?
It's Well, I don't know. It's a combination of a lot of things. Okay, losing to Stanford's fine. Minnesota's a bit better than we thought. So if you think about it, it's still early. They're a quarter way through the schedule, four games in. Their schedule hasn't been easy. We knew Utah.
Yeah,
State
all the teams
difficult.
That they've lost to, all the teams that they've lost to, all have winning records right now, and all most likely will get make bowl games.
Well, I think what is Minnesota? Did they win last week? They were 4-0 after that.
No,
game.
They lost last week, 23-7 against Iowa.
Oh, jeez. Lost to Iowa. Homecoming. They scheduled Iowa for homecoming and lost.
Yep.
Okay, so they're still better than we thought, in my opinion, a little bit.
I think so too.
But it's
considering
there.
We were picking San Jose State and UNLV to possibly upset Minnesota at the beginning of the season because we didn't know what they were going to look like.
True. But I think it's a combination of both. They have a lot of injuries. When you lose your best linebacker, not that Ben Wickery would have mattered too much in the Utah State game, they lose their, like I said, best linebacker, best wide receiver.
Now best two linebackers.
Oh, yeah, that's right, top two linebackers. And if I'm correct, I'm going to pull up now because I'm pretty sure they lost a running back earlier in the year as well, if I'm correct. But you lose all that, they're still – okay, I can't say they're not competitive because they haven't been, but when you leave – when you have 2 to 3 times per game, you get stuck with a 30 or less yard field goal, you're putting at least – they're leaving double-digit points on every game they played this year in their losses. Even against Stanford, they had, I think, two chances – at least in the red zone where they settled for field goals. The Minnesota game, they had a penalty to push him back inside the red zone. They went for it on 4th and 1. Jason Simpson couldn't get the first down. They kicked so many field goals within 25 yards. They've left probably, I'd safe to say, almost 10 to 14 points on the board due to kicking field goals or getting stopped in short distances in the red zone. And that's an issue.
Every game.
Even Sacramento State, that happened. And that's... what I can say, Sacramento State, that's all we can say. They're a bad, it's a FCS school. It should not matter against them. You should put your will against them. And if I don't find the running back here, maybe they're missing something else. I don't know. I'm trying to look a few things up here at the same time. But they've lost a lot of talent. So it's injuries. And I did see Jimmy Durkin mention the Mercury News. That is execution, but I hate hearing that because I hear, not to go off on my other stuff, but We'll discuss BYU in a couple weeks. They play our team, but every time it comes down to execution. Yeah, if you have a great game plan, any team can have a great game plan. I've heard that for years from them, but they're still a decent team. If I hear a team says, "Well, if we just executed better, we'd win," well, duh. Who isn't going to say that, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like the key thing to say.
Yeah, I get it. It's like, but I've heard it for so many years. Anytime I hear it, even if a team who's never used it and all that, not very often, I want to bash my head in because. Of course, you assume the coach is the smartest guy in the field, and if you make plays, it's fine, but at one point it takes talent, and they're losing so much talent. They can't make the plays on defense. And even in this game, if they made those couple field goals, that would have been 8 more points on the board. They still would have lost 40-20. So it's not like those red zone woes hurt them all that much this game. They still got just blown out, so... So you're not... if you were to put a percentage right now, what would you put their odds at making a bowl game right now? Because the schedule does get considerably easier down the stretch.
No, you're absolutely right. It does. Right now, I would say...
I'm assuming they'll beat Hawaii.
I would say 50-50.
50-50. Okay, so assuming they'll beat Hawaii, do you think they'll beat Colorado State on the road?
Not sure yet.
Wyoming at home?
Maybe.
Okay, tell me this. What's their winnable games? Because you said 2, right?
Yeah.
Is that Hawaii and who else?
Hawaii, UNLV,
Even UNLV at this point?
We'll see.
Devontae Davis and Caleb Perrin's a pretty potent combination right now.
Yeah, okay, fine, you're right. Okay, I'm still going to go with maybe.
Okay.
I think UNLV's improved. I'm not sure how. We'll see. Because that might be an interesting matchup to watch just to see.
Who turns the ball over the most?
Who turns the ball over the most, but who basically withstands? Because at that point of the season, and this is going to be something that we're going to have to talk about on our mid-season show, if we have a mid-season show, that game is 4 weeks from now.
Yes.
And UNLV could possibly be 5-3 at that point.
Whoa.
Very realistically.
Okay, we'll get to UNLV and we'll circle back around to this. So, nothing more to see here. Utah State blew them out. Utah State's looking like the second best team in the league. Is that fair to say?
Second or third? I think.
I'd say put them tied with Boise State. Is that fair?
I'd put them out of the tie with Boise State right now, yes.
And Wyoming's, whatever.
Let's get to Wyoming later.
Later.
Maybe never.
Did anybody see it? Because it wasn't the Longhorn Network.
Yeah. Maybe this game actually didn't exist.
All right, here's the thing. CSU versus UTEP. I guess the odds makers know something since CSU, Colorado State, was a 14-point favorite.
I am wrong again.
But me too, 59-42. Who expected CSU to cover?
I did not. And I also did not expect them to score 59 points either.
Or have them to come back after giving up 21 unanswered to come back with their own
22 points.
Well, 23 points. Oh, no, sorry. Hold on. They have a two-point conversion option here.
22 points in the fourth quarter.
Oh, no, I'm talking about after coming back from – after leading 28-7, they blow it and let – that. If I could talk today. Let UTEP tie
see,
it.
No, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
And then they come back and respond to outscore the UTEP – what is it? 14. UTEP scored a 14, and they put up 31 points, 31-14 to end the game. And here's the most amazing thing. Here's a couple things I noticed about this game. Okay, UTEP's not very good. We could establish that.
However, Jameel Showers is very good.
This game, he was very good. Yeah, the Texas A&M transfer finally picking it up, had five touchdowns, 365 passing through the air, and then 21 and 0 scoring on the ground. So he had six total touchdowns. Can we give him the game ball? Is that good enough, I think?
Yeah, I think we can.
He finally stepped up, but he needed more help. He rushing game did okay. He didn't turn the ball over himself, which is a plus, which he played New Mexico. I think he turned it over a couple times and didn't even get 200 yards in the air. And here's the crazy thing. UTEP won the time possession by 11 minutes. They had more first downs. They had, within 100 total yards. Within 100 total yards. Thing was, CSU's rushing game. Do you see their yards per average, yards per attempt?
Yes.
7.4. So Capri Bibbs. What was that?
He's not Capri Sun.
No, not. Well, I went with Capri Pants, which is even more worse than what I know here.
Yeah, you might want to stop. Yeah. Take a few minutes out.
Yeah, head to the penalty box. But even if you take away his longest yard of 37 yards, he still had a... This is also 13 carries, folks. He just crushed whatever UTEP was presenting. He did what he wanted to do. And this wasn't just like, Donald Alexander's getting a lot of carries. Chris Nwoke is getting a lot of carries. No. Those two guys combined for 14 carries and still had a good, between the two of them, average over 6 yards a carry. But Capri had 147 yards, three touchdowns, 11.3 on the ground. And this is still, they're still missing Charles Lovett. They did get Joe Hansley back finally. But man, Rashard Higgins had 156 yards on six receptions catching a ball. So CSU's 2-3. Should we play the maybe yes or no game for the bowl game? Can we just say no for them?
Yeah, let's say no for now.
I'll still say no, but I think Garrett, I don't know what the deal is the first couple of games. Maybe CU's really that much better than we thought.
Not if they're scheduling Southern or
Charleston Southern
to try and recap the Fresno game.
Yeah,
I think Colorado State is better. I think we saw that from the Alabama game.
What happened this game defense, man? They gave up 42 points.
Jameel Showers. I don't know.
Okay, sure. We'll go with that. Six touchdowns, one player. Good for you.
I will say, though, this definitely makes the border war going to be a lot of fun in 2 weeks.
Well, even next 3 weeks. No, it is in 2 weeks. Oh, no, they have a bye week. They play San Jose State in 2 weeks. That'll be interesting, too. Just to kind of see, and it's at home. But they're playing Garrett Grayson, because we all bagged on him. Everybody bagged him. Like, put in the freshman. Put in, I think it was Nick Stevens, or put in Connor Smith. But he's shown, 17 for 28, 307, average 11 per attempt. This offense was just – I don't think you can get much more efficient than their offense in this game.
No. No, they were to use the overused cliche, firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, they had 90 – they ran 90 plays. Oh, no, that's UTEP. Sorry. My mistake. Hold on a second. Dang, UTEP ran 90 plays?
Good Lord.
90. I just realized that I was going to add them up. With, no, but okay. But CSU put up, wow, 90-63. So on 63 plays, they averaged almost 10 yards a play. They had 591 yards on 63.
So they were extremely efficient.
Yeah, that's 9 yards a carry or 9 yards a play. Either incompletion, whatever. That's a. Hey, all we can say, they're Jim McElwain is on the uprising. Is that good enough?
I think so.
Let's just move on. They won the game. They haven't won a lot in a while. And I think Garrett Grayson is becoming a better quarterback, which going, like I said, 3 touchdowns. Big key here, only one fumble in the game. No turnovers by Garrett Grayson. So they are 2-3, and they are still – they'll make things interesting when they play Wyoming and San Jose State and everything. So let's just move on to Wyoming, Texas State. Wyoming, you let me down. 42-21, they lose the Texas State of the Sun Belt. Can we give Texas State credit because they're 2-0 at home? Is that okay to say?
No!
I'm trying to find something here.
No, that's not okay to say. I'm sorry. We were hyping up Brett Smith from the week before.
No, the team in general, not just Brett Smith, the whole team.
The whole team. Offensively, defensively, they had looked so much better. And, you know, fine, there's a rain delay. Fine. But seriously? I mean,
what happened to Sean
Brett
Lick?
Smith ran for negative yardage. He was sacked that many times. His longest rushing attempt was 3 yards.
Heesh. I don't know, and there's no explanation for Sean White getting 4 carries. And I guess they'll know more about. I'm reading the over at the Cowboy Chronicles. I guess it's from the multiple Wyoming newspapers there. See Tuesday's Wyoming Tribune, Eagle, and Laramie Boomerang, and log on to our website for more information about this game. Come on, on Tuesday. I don't know why he got 2 4 carries. Did he fumble the ball? I don't think he fumbled the ball.
The only turnover that Wyoming had was a Brent Smith interception.
What is Texas State doing? They are 3-1, so they are 2-0 at home. But it's not like they're anything. They're in the Sun Belt. They left the WAC. They barely beat Southern Miss.
I don't know. I guess they're much better than we thought.
Did he start off 1 for 20 again?
Against Idaho?
One for 10 versus Idaho, I think.
Somebody who actually watched this game, can they tell us? Because, you know, Longhorn Network and not getting the game.
Yeah. He started 3 for 4. Let's see here. I'm doing sure like this is so excited now. Started 5 for 7, 6 for 8, 7 for 9. Started 8 for 10. Started 9 for 11 in the first 8 for 10 in the first quarter. I'm not gonna go through the whole game, but he started 8 for 10. That's pretty good, right?
I'm assuming
completing 80% of your passes. I don't know why Sean Wick, the main thing I want to know is why Sean Wick didn't play, because obviously we couldn't see the game because two people have Longhorn Network. They only turned the ball over once. It wasn't like a 5-turnover game. They did, and they less penalties.
And see, here's the
less
thing:
penalties,
is,
it, more same first downs. I don't know what to. I don't know what the deal is.
The only thing that I'm seeing here is that Brett Smith seemed to get a lot of hits. Like, that's the only thing I could possibly see.
Well, they also couldn't run the ball. They only got 64 yards. So they had to throw the ball a lot, trailing so much as they did by double digits. And you can't be balanced if you're down by that much. But you have a quarterback, if you're down, should be able to light up almost any defense. And Brett Smith is, here's what, like, Coach David Christensen said. It's like, our offenses are broken, and there's a lot of good things that we've done. But it's like,
okay.
Say,
so he was
situations are saying, I don't know. It's just a play in a bad.
He was sacked 4 times.
Yeah, that had to hurt you a lot there, and that goes against his rushing yards, which is why he'd be negative on the night. And
I'm sorry,
well,
he sacked 3 times, but I
but
mean,
also,
even
still
though,
long of three. Even take those away, it's long of three.
Yeah, I don't get it because sacked 3 times for -16 yards. you're long of three, so then I guess whenever he tried to run the ball, he just got pulled down.
I'll go with that. That sounds like a good enough explanation as any to me. I don't know. I didn't see the game. Reading what the people have said today, it's like they're just the balance wasn't there, and that was the main issue. But it's got to be more than that. I don't want to say, oh, to go back to my rant about executing, but I guess the only thing I've said it like three times already, but why did Sean Wade get 3-4 carries? He didn't fumble the ball. They had no sign of pointing to injury. Brandon Miller did okay, 14 for 72. He averaged 5 yards a carry. He's our best player in the offense.
Yeah, so Brent Smith rushed another 3 or 4 times for negative yardage.
Texas State's front seven did the damage on him. I guess that's
They just, so. Yeah. I mean, that's got to be it.
They're still undefeated in the league. So we're, because we hyped him pretty good, because why wouldn't we? Brett Smith lit it up. They almost beat Nebraska. They put up a lot. Not just that's what you hang your hat on, but he's lighting up anybody, doing what Derek Carr is almost doing to his opponents. Are you still confident that Wyoming will make a bowl game this year?
I feel like this should be, once again, I feel like these are mid-season podcast okay. shows.
We'll do the last one. We'll save some for later, for next week. So really,
one, two, three. Yeah, I think they'll make a bowl game.
Okay, I won't ask it every time. No, we'll just go through the games.
the ones that we're iffy on, we'll go ahead and ask.
Okay, next game here. Oh, wait, my awesome internet froze on me. Let me go back to our...
The next game is the loser's game. San Diego State, New Mexico State. Somebody won!
Wait, this game did not end in a tie.
No, it did not end in a tie.
Did we get an official attendance for this game yet?
Let me look it up. Hold on here.
Usually they say it right here in the front of ESPN.
16,113.
That, I think, doubled their seat. Oh, there it is. Yep. I think that doubled their average. Well, that's probably paid attendance. Probably not actual. So even if we chalk it down to 14, that's still almost better than – it's much better than their 8,500 they've been averaging all year.
And, hey, New Mexico State started out good. And then San Diego State all of a sudden decided to warm up.
Well, no. And they had the – no. Did you see the 2 points San Diego State received?
Yeah.
98-yard – PAT block. Those are nearly impossible to pull off unless you get a super clean block. Not just a tip, but it's like you catch the ball and just run it back.
Wait, I thought that was a 1-point safety, though.
No. That, oh, I remember that happened last year.
That happened last year. And, that, you know, no, Juan that, Cherry.
Do you recall what happened?
Yeah, hold on. Let me see. Remember.
Wasn't it he was tackled in the end zone, I think, trying to return it, and that's how it came about?
Yeah. Okay. So, 2-point conversion, or 1 point is awarding. In American football, in what would be normally a safety, is scored on an extra point or 2-point conversion attempt. 1 point is awarded to the scoring team.
I heard it's Kansas State Fiesta Bowl last year versus Oregon. It happened.
Yeah. This should have been a 1-point safety.
Well, no, hold on. Here's the article right here. Here's official rulebook. The ball becomes dead at... Wait, blah, 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 blah. It is not a safety...
Oh, wait. Yeah, no, I got it. Never mind. Go ahead, continue.
Oh, sorry. Here, I'll just read the rule really quick. Well, no, we don't need to mess the rule, do we? Do we care?
No.
1-point safety, extremely rare. If you want to find out, just Google 1-point, extra point safety, college football. It could happen. So basically, it's still a funny play. 98-yard touch, not touchdown, but 2-point conversion. Scamper.
I'm watching this highlight right now because I've got to see this.
Oh, I haven't seen it either. So are you watching it on ESPN as well?
I'm watching it. Yeah. Let's see. 12-second play.
Let's all watch it now. And you have your 15-second ad in front of it, right?
Yep. Oh, they only show the touchdown. What the hell is this?
They don't show the block.
Oh wait, no, never mind. I got it. Hold on. Oh my goodness. Wow.
Excellent. Oh, well, it's one of
so
the...
good job, San Diego State's special teams. That was a beautiful block. But man. Wow.
I guess that started their comeback, maybe?
That did start their comeback because
technically
did not score after that.
So here's the thing. I was reading something in the San Diego Union Tribune. I don't know what's wrong with Adam Wema. 10 carries, 25 yards. They had their freshman Donnell Pumphrey lead the way with 19 to 167 for three scores.
We will go ahead and put his name on the list of player name of the year.
Maybe.
Candidate.
Donnell Pumphrey.
Donnell Pumphrey.
Not yeah. Humphrey. Pumphrey.
I know. Hey, there was Stan Humphreys who played for the Chargers.
No,
Pumphrey
I know
is a much funnier sounding name.
That's what
name.
I said. Pumphrey, not Humphrey. Did we lose everybody on that? Whatever. Let's move on.
But I don't know. I mean, that the safety definitely started the comeback because from there to end the second quarter, it was 16-5.
Here's the thing. This is the Aztecs' first win of the season. This is a reason to celebrate. Right?
This is. This,
even
no,
be
this
defeating
is,
right. New Mexico, independent New Mexico State.
Who actually has cool helmets this year?
They do. They look they do. Good. The defense for San Diego State actually stepped up, which is something we haven't seen at all this
Rare.
Year. But it, again, remember, you're playing New Mexico State here. They only gave up 40 rushing yards, 230 passing yards. But the main issue was they did lose a linebacker, Jay Feely, for a couple weeks for an injury, which not what they want to lose.
The player ranking curse strikes again.
Yes, of course. Something's going on with our list there. But whatever, they beat New Mexico State. If you watch the game on ESPN3 or whatever various means to watch it, good for you. Because if you're an Aztec, okay, let's just say I'm glad our friend David Fricker did not go to Las Cruces to see a loss. Because if you went to New Mexico State and witnessed lost, I would I don't know what I'd do with myself.
Well,
right.
Let's just put it this way: there's nothing to do in New Mexico State.
Yeah, Albuquerque is a decent town, but Las Cruces, not much.
Hey,
there.
You know there is El Paso and Ciudad Juarez. Hear it?
I don't want to go to Juarez, man. Have you seen the bridge yet?
No, I haven't.
You know what happens there? Whatever. I've only seen like two episodes so far. It's on the El Paso Juarez border for some murder show on FX or something, some cop show.
All right.
So making a weird joke, but first one of the year is. I'm assuming. Well, this is enough for a mid-season preview show. They beat New Mexico State. They found a new running back. Let's see if Pumphrey can get going, and maybe if Moima can step it up a little bit, they'll actually have an affordable running attack going forward.
No. There will be running back controversy.
Oh, controversy, not a formidable 1-2 punch.
No.
You'll take the negative effect. I'll take the positive effect on this one.
Exactly.
And Quinn Kaler, another solid game, about 66% throwing, 229. No turnovers. Good on you. No interceptions, I should say. But whatever, 1-3, disappointing San Diego State team so far. They might be turning it around. So which game should we discuss next as I hit back on my browser five times to find our schedule?
We should discuss – no, let's not discuss it. Actually, let's totally discuss it because it was easily the game of the week.
Yes.
UNLV New Mexico.
56-42. The Running Rebs defeated the Lobos on the road.
UNLV's first win on the road since what? 2009?
No, they got a road win last year. There was a huge this might be a conference road win, I believe, but there was, I remember reading something about this last year. They went on like a 4-year losing streak on the road. They snapped it last year when they beat, who did they beat on the road last year? Oh, nobody. Hold on. Maybe you're right on that. Maybe it was a conference.
Well, anyway, while you're going fumbling through that, it was also it's also UNLV's first 3-game win streak since 2003.
Yeah, we mentioned that in our last show.
Caleb Herring. I might have to give this weekend's game ball to Caleb Herring.
How did he lose the job last year to Nick Sherry and move to wide receiver?
I really don't know.
And here's one thing too that UNLV's lucky to have, not lucky but good to have back to make their offense pretty good, is that they actually have wide receiver Marcus Sullivan back. He
yes.
is not play. I believe this was his first game back. He was out for undisclosed. This was undisclosed. Not just we don't know. This is undisclosed reasons. I'm not sure if it's family issues or some person.
They said I thought the Las Vegas Review Journal said personal reasons.
Personal, yeah. But beyond that, we don't know if it was something with his family or some whatever. We don't know what it was. It wasn't injury related, we should say. But he's back in. And he's a very good wide receiver. And he look what he did in his first game back. He threw for 27 yards, one reception, ran for 69 and a TD, caught four receptions for 48 yards. He is a difference maker on this team. And then we have Devontae Davis, who has not been struck by the curse. Knock on wood, jinx, whatever you want to say. That does not happen to him, Rebel fans.
Nor Tim Cornette.
Nor Tim Cornette. But Davis, 164, three TDs on 10 receptions. Cornette, 179. Herring, 293, four TDs. This, I think I say, even though I know people are waiting with bated breath to mention Lane Kiffin got fired from USC about what we want to talk about. But I believe, since we seriously, when we joked to him to UNLV, it was purely a joke on my part, correct?
Yeah.
Nothing serious, because what has he done to earn a head coaching job besides kicking out Norm Chow to the curb, riding the coattails of Steve Sarkisian, and being the only person to take Al Davis's head coaching job with the Raiders? Right?
Right.
And so that was kind of a joke, like, hey, why not? Go to a mid-level team. Low-level team in the Mountain West. Out west and do your thing. But now, I'm going to ask this because I know you say this is a midseason question, but is Bobby Hout good to go?
I think he is, especially after the win. There were reports of Bobby Hout getting a water bath by the teammates on the sideline.
Interesting.
Yes.
Beating New Mexico. This was a road win. This was their, I guess, their three-game win. I think that's deserved. They're three. Okay, here's the thing. Old UNLV, starting 0-2, would have just given up. They've won three in a row. They knocked New Mexico likely out of bowl contention. They could have one of the, I know we're overvaluing the game, but a very good offense that did good. Even, and they put up huge numbers. I think part of it, getting Marcus Sullivan back helps a lot. And
You want to know what the biggest thing about this game was? And I will notice, because we said the old UNLV would have just given up and everything like that. How about this? The old UNLV giving up 497 yards rushing would have probably been blown out by New Mexico. Not only do they hang in there, but they beat New Mexico nearly 500 yards rushing.
Yeah, New Mexico, this is the first time ever they had three players with 100 yards. Casey Carey, 192. Who's this Wiggins character? I've never heard of him. Carlos Wiggins?
New Mexico had 500 yards, 497 yards rushing.
Here's another thing. 118 of those yards came by Carlos Wiggins on three carries. Who is Carlos Wiggins? I want to find out now. I'm intrigued.
I don't know.
A wide receiver. Okay.
497 yards rushing, and they still lose. UNLV still basically comes back to win.
And Cole Gauchy was competent. I think that's a loosely termed word. 4 of 9 for 74 yards.
Semi-competent.
More than normal than his 3 for 11 for 20 yards. Right?
Right, he was throwing downfield.
True, okay. But here's also turnovers about the same. Penalties favored UNLV 1-6. I'm not going to go through every stat, but they just all-around effort. Okay, let me ask you this, because Hank did write about this. Who do you think the best running back in the league is? He said Casey Carey could be. I got to say it's between Carey or Tim Cornette. And I got to lean to Tim Cornette, because there's ways, if teams can do it right, can shut down, what's it, Casey Carrier.
Yeah, so far, Tim Cornette has not been shut down this season, I don't think.
He was slowed down early on, I think, in one, like, before.
Well, he was slowed down, but, I mean, even look. So, against Minnesota, 80 yards, he averaged 4 yards a game, or 4 yards a carry. Against Arizona, 4.1 yards a game. Against Central Michigan, 4.3 yards a game. Western Illinois, 7 yards a game. New Mexico, 7.2 yards a game.
This was his breakout game of the year, but still, 3 games over 80 yards. In Arizona, he struggled with 62. And that was a blowout.
But those are on limited carries, too.
15 and 12 for Western Illinois and Arizona. So I'm wondering, because... we'll ask this later. We'll go through the bowl game situation later. But I think UNLV, like we mentioned last week, they're treading on thicker ice of maybe getting to at least, I think they can at least get 5 wins, but we'll mention that next week. But this is just a shocker of a game to give up so many yards. They come from behind to win. Not really come behind, but like a back and forth game where usually that wouldn't be the case. They're trailing 7 points every other quarter, every third and fourth quarter, down by 14 to start the game. What do we, say UNLV's good to go on this? You're not going to get rid of Bobby Houck no matter what the rest of the way?
I think one more win will seal it.
For certain. Okay. All right. We will we'll get back to the fight at the end of the show about maybe some potential for taking over at USC for somebody else in the league. But do we need to say much about Boise State, Southern Miss?
Nope.
We will say
Boise State's offense is rolling. They were back against Fresno State.
Okay. Let's just say their defense improved immensely against a very bad Southern Miss team.
Yeah.
So it's kind of what we expected. 6-7. My only thing I want to see about this game was the running back situation. So is Jay Ajayi now the starter again because Iron Baltazar had 4 carries?
I guess.
Are you more confused than before?
A little bit.
Because Jack Fields came in and got more carries in this game? Maybe most likely because he's the third string and they're crushing Southern Miss?
Possibly.
I don't know what to make from this. But hey, Nick Patty sighting. 1 of 1 for 3 yards.
Right. Quarterback controversy. No. 3 quarterback controversy.
No.
No.
All we can say in this game, their defense. The main thing for this, their defense, even though it's a bad Southern Miss team, defense played strong, held Southern Miss to only 2 of 13 on third down, shut them down completely. Let's move on.
You know what? I will say, here are my last few cents. Matthew, I think, said this in his rapid recap, and he did a great job covering this weekend for all of us. Grant Hedrick, he mentioned this. Grant Hedrick is definitely a competent backup. Grant Hedrick is probably the most competent backup in the league.
I could see that. Because he came in versus a couple of games ago. I forget the opponent, but he came in for a couple of plays.
He came in against Fresno State last week.
Yeah, he had to come in for a couple of plays.
And he still led them to a touchdown.
Yeah, led them to a touchdown. It's him. I could see. Well, I would say if Devin Combs was healthy at Nevada, I would say that was the better situation by quite a bit. But with his ACL tear, can't say that anymore. That's the only other one I could say that'd be comparable. But yeah, Hendricks, he's perfectly fine to come in, and if there's
an issue, he could probably start on most of these other teams.
Pretty much, yeah. There's a lot of good quarterbacks in the league, but he could start for I'd say half.
Yep.
But next game, when I saw this box score, because I didn't have time to watch this game. Nevada beat Air Force 45-42. I'm like, Nevada must have their third string quarterback in, because they barely beat a poor Air Force team. But wait, we were wrong on that. Cody Fajardo played and played quite well, might I add. 3 touchdowns, 389. I think he's pretty much healthy from his injury, but how is, like you said before, is Nevada, what's up with Nevada's defense? Do they have a defense?
It's,
a defense?
It's bad.
Do they need to put up a fence to play defense?
It's bad. I mean, I'm going to have this question for you at the end of the night. But gee. Really? I mean, okay. Once again, Air Force has looked horrible this year. And they've looked horrible against Mountain West opponents. Now,
first win. They are. Hold on real quick. Air Force has already played 4 league games and is 0-4. And this
right.
1-4 in the year. So they've already lost to. Yeah. They played half their league schedule and is 0-4.
And they played the good half of their league schedule. I mean, they played Utah State, Boise State, Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And we were figuring, like, oh, yeah, well, whatever.
Maybe Wyoming. Yeah.
Yeah. But seriously, Nevada, you had to come back from this game.
The rushing yards is acceptable, kind of. Well, here's the thing. Air Force is down to their third-string quarterback, Carson Roberts, because Jaleel Owini's out for – he's not in good standing with the academy.
Get kicked out.
Well, no, off the team. He's still at school.
Oh, he's off the team. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's just not in good standing for any extracurricular activities. Kel Pearson, torn ACL, gone. She had Carson Roberts.
And he did all right.
All right. He had 161 yards running the ball and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I know, but I meant passing.
Yeah, even passing, yeah. Well, this high-scoring game, yeah, he completed 50%, 5 of 10, which is not – it's okay for academy quarterback. Probably won't be 7 of 10, but still. He threw the ball well, moved the offense. They put up a lot of points, ran the option completely well because we knew they'll put up yards on the ground, but so did Nevada rushing. Nevada – did pretty well. It was kind of a disappointing for Chris Solomon, who kind of took over the starting role but laid an egg in this game. They still put up 210 on the ground. Look at the total yards for this game, 599 to 453 in favor of Nevada, and they still barely won.
And this is just Nevada.
I don't know. I guess all it comes out to their defense. Okay, I get it's Air Force don't run on anybody, but when's the last time you've seen Air Force put up 40 points in a game in ever?
Well, when was the last time you saw Cody Forshada throw for 54 attempts?
Yeah, that doesn't help either. It was still fairly balanced because they ran the ball 44 times. It wasn't like it was
I mean, still, Nevada had to run a lot of plays.
Yeah, if we want to go to the play category, the play thing again, Air Force ran the ball, had 62 plays. Nevada almost had 100 plays. Nevada did have 100 plays.
Yeah, I mean,
they needed every one of those to win this game.
They really did.
Because they won. They scored on the – they had – because at the end of the game, they're down – they had to come back. They're down 42-30 late in the fourth quarter. They scored two quick touchdowns under 6 minutes and win 45-42. They needed every single one of those plays.
And if you think, oh, well, there were a lot of turnovers in this game. No.
Nope.
There were
– one for one.
One, yeah. One turnover by Nevada, one turnover for Air Force.
All right. I wish I could have saw this game. It would have been exciting to watch just because a lot of points. Same as the UNLV-Nevada game. Or, excuse me, UNLV-New Mexico game. All right, one more game to discuss. Or was that every game? Oh, yeah, sorry. The uber-late game where the refs don't know how to work their microphone during halftime. Did you read about that?
Yes. So this was actually the game that I did watch.
Because it's so late.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, Fresno State's up 42-3 in the middle of the third, over the middle of the third quarter.
Yeah.
Right now I'm questioning still how Boise State lost last week.
You might get a chance of redemption later on in December 7th.
I know, but I mean, okay. And what's funny is if it wasn't for a failed fourth down conversion, Fresno State would have lost twice in a row now.
Is this the issue of going to Hawaii and can't play on the road? Because remember last year when they played SMU, they got blown out of the game early and just got crushed.
No. I really don't think so. Well, I think, one, five turnovers for Fresno State does not help.
Two picks by Derek Carr.
Yeah, Derek Carr's Heisman campaign might be over. No.
Here's the reason why. They moved up to the polls. You know why they moved up to the polls? This game ended like at 3 a.m. on the East Coast. Nobody watched the game. That's the benefit of playing out Hawaii for a late midnight Eastern kickoff. Nobody really cares what happened. It's like a black hole.
But Hawaii, on Hawaii's hand, okay, you start the freshman. I don't know why you start the freshman.
And then they bring in Schroeder, and look what Schroeder did.
Yeah, just completely tore up.
Yeah, they put in a Kylie Woosley starting. Sean Schroeder.
Okay, Cowboysy.
Whatever. Names are not my thing here, apparently. Hawaiian names. But, yeah, Schroeder, 11, 12 yards an attempt, 321, three TDs a pick. This would have been, like, I believe somebody mentioned, this would have been the biggest FBS comeback ever.
Hawaii does not have a good rushing offense because it's Hawaii.
And they're missing Joey Asafa out for a few
And they're
weeks.
Missing Joey Asafa. Stephen Lakalaka.
Nice.
That's a really fun name to say. I'm sorry.
It is.
13 carries, 66 yards. That's 5.1.
Competent.
Yeah, it's competent, but the two touchdowns right there finishing the drives.
Yeah, excellent. Then they did get Billy Ray Stutzman back, and he was kind of a secondary role. But Chris Gant, 133, no touchdowns, but four receptions. Here's the thing. First of all, I was Deron Smith. Preseason, I'm reminding everybody this week, defensive preseason player of the year. How does that happen?
I have no
clue. They also have LJ Jones. He did have a pick six in this game. They had, in most people's opinion, one of the best secondaries in the league, even losing Alden Smith. Am I correct on that?
Yes. They have looked absolutely atrocious. Okay, you ready for this one? How bad is Fresno State's defense?
How bad is it?
They rank 114th in the nation for giving up points.
Total points, you said? Is that correct?
Total points. They give up 38.3 points per game. They rank 114th.
Okay, they gave up 50 to Fresno and Boise State, correct? Right about there?
They gave up 51 to Rutgers. They gave up
40 to Boise.
40 to Boise, 25 to Cal Poly, 37 to Hawaii. They're still undefeated magically.
Do you think I read a little bit. What was the issue with the officiating in this game? There were some issues where they had to make, because somehow one of our commenters at the game said the mic was on during halftime, saying they need to even out the game. What was that about? What did you see? Because that's just too late for me. I couldn't see. I was just not able.
I only saw the second half of this game. But I mean, it's funny because if there was something about that, Hawaii was penalized 10 times for 95 yards versus Fresno State, who was penalized 5 times for 61 yards. And all the penalties that I saw, at least in the second half, most of them were fair. So, I don't know. Do we have a Mountain West corruption referee case going here? Conspiracy theory?
Conspiracy theory. Well, here's the thing right here. I'm reading on the Fresno Bee question title. Question Jermaine after Isaiah Burst call in Hawaii. I don't know what this call is, and I don't want to read it to bore everybody as we pause for 15 seconds here.
For stationary identification.
This is the Mountain West connection. Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, I did not realize Isaiah Burst was ejected by official after he was penalized for targeting.
Oh, yeah. There was a targeting. I forgot about
that. Is he going to get suspended for that then, possibly?
He might be
that
suspended.
Could be a suspension. Let me see here real quick. Because they can review. After video review, he was ejected. Rule put in place to protect players on the kick return. They're going to send it to the conference to look over it, say he shouldn't be suspended for a game or so. So that, you would think that would hurt Fresno, but again, first quarter penalty. Not late third quarter when Hawaii's making their comeback. I don't know what to make of this game. Is it just playing on Hawaii? Is it more I don't know what it is, man.
They played inspired. They're I don't know. Whatever. Somebody grabbed the Rainbow Warrior Tiki and
is this a trophy game at all involved? Is there any former WAC rivals?
I mean, the WAC rivalry is high scoring WACtion. I mean,
but was there any
not as far as I know.
Memorabilia on the line?
No, there's no memorabilia.
Okay,
you know what? Hawaii just played inspired.
For what, though?
I don't know. Maybe trying to get a win?
I'm just saying, they're 0-4, 0-2. I don't know. I laughed. I'm like, inspired for what? All right, so let's move on from that. That's all the games we have to. Here's what I want to discuss really quick at the end of the show here. A couple things here. It's not the midseason show, but how concerned are you for Fresno State kind of in general?
I say it depends on who they face in the championship game, and they might not be able to go undefeated.
How lucky are they that they don't play Utah State this season? Quite a bit.
Very, very lucky. Okay, think about this. Chucky Keaton against that Fresno State defense.
I'm wondering if this UNLV game in a couple weeks could be interesting. Because here's their schedule. I know we might bypass most of midseason garbage here that we said we weren't going to talk about. But listen to their schedule. At Hawaii. They just beat Hawaii. At Idaho. So they could be doing. That's pretty dangerous. Home bye week, home to UNLV. At San Diego State. Nevada, at Wyoming, New Mexico, San Jose State. Nothing's daunting on that schedule for what the offense can do. Because UNLV's defense will give up points, but that might be a match for match, like a score point for point game. Who knows what San Diego State will do later on the year? Notice I missed Idaho because there's no reason to discuss that for 1 second. Besides that,
hey, they beat Temple last weekend.
Okay, fine, good for them. Was this on the road?
No, it was at home. I think
Temple came to the Kibbe Dome.
Yeah,
an American Athletic Conference BCS
AAC
and a BCS automatic qualifying conference team went to the Kibbe Dome. Yes, they did. So I had to throw that in there that they do get a BCS bid this year. So okay, Nevada points up against Wyoming could be a point for point type of game. New Mexico they should win, and San Jose State's defense is terrible. I see maybe 1.5 roadblocks on the schedule. UNLV could be an issue, and maybe Wyoming.
But yeah, if you're, I mean,
Am I really far fetched? No, all compared to what these defenses bring.
You might be far fetched against Wyoming, but UNLV,
the way that they've looked,
that's why I said half. That's why I said half a game, one and a half.
Yeah, it depends on which Wyoming team decides to show up.
Well, and UNLV, so that's why I'm like, there could be some issues, but maybe San Diego State picks up a little bit, maybe, but I don't see a loss the rest of the way. So, we got through this, so we'll discuss this later. Here's what I want to talk about, because we know Lane Kiffin's gone. Obviously, Chris Peterson name comes up. You're the expert. We all know what he did in the past. He kind of gave the cold shoulder to Washington after saying yes, on an interview, at least. Is he going to, first inclination, is he going to be attempted to be contacted for this job when the season ends?
Yes.
Will he even accept the phone call?
No.
So it'll be what he normally does. His agent will just say thanks, but no thanks. Because that's what we've heard. His agent takes a call and will say Chris Peterson, he'll say yay or nay without even talking to the school.
See, here's the thing about the USC job. I think he's, probably a top candidate being looked at. The thing is, the pressure that comes with being a USC coach. Would Chris Peterson want to leave for that?
Here's the thing. USC hasn't had a good football coach in a while. It's arguably this will be their first football coach since Pete Carroll. Because Lane Kiffin was just...
awful.
Yeah. He had all this talent, and you can't even manage to be above average. Dude, remember, they were the preseason number one team in 2012.
He survived Utah State, and Utah State really should have won that game.
I don't know if they should have. There was a questionable penalty that could have made a big difference.
No. Watching the game, if UNLV had, or if Utah State had converted, they should have won the game.
If they converted that long pass, if there was no penalty?
No. Not just the long pass, but I mean other opportunities.
Okay. Also, here's another reason too. Okay, we mentioned that because there's reports from saying let's go move south to the Big 12 in Texas. DeLoss Dodge is retiring in August. Most people assume Mac Brown's going to take the chair upstairs. There's going to be an opening there as well. Will this be the same scenario? If USC and Texas come calling, how can you say no to either of those?
I would say Chris Peterson, and he won't say yes to either one of them, but he's got more of a chance. He's probably thinking more about saying yes to Texas than he is to saying USC.
Why is that?
Texas might have a bigger fan base around Texas and the South, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's based in Austin. And Austin is, I don't know how big Austin is, but it's not the size of Los Angeles.
No, not even close. It's a mid-sized town. It's a decent-sized town. For a college
which
city, top 40 market.
Which is closer to what Chris Peterson would probably work with.
It's the reason I brought that job up, because Brent Peace was
you're
there.
Working... okay, in terms of a stress environment position, at USC, you're working essentially in downtown Los Angeles.
You're the pro team in town, too.
You are the pro team in town. Let's forget about UCLA for a second. You are the pro team. Everybody knows USC football. Name me one person who doesn't know USC football.
You want to know a sad
possibly
thing?
In the world.
You'll not like me about this. When I grew up in Texas, like UTNM. My team, when it wasn't those two guys, I really used to like USC.
Well, I've got family who's still...
a guy nowhere near. I'm like, I like USC just because. And it's like, oh, it's like the Cowboys, but that's a different thing. But
USC is a very ideal team to bandwagon for, almost like Boise State.
I think the uniform. I'm like in high school and younger. It's like, oh, the uniforms are pretty cool. So
they are the traditional team of the West Coast.
Yeah, and everybody knows about them. It's like, oh, they're like them in Oregon, even when Oregon's kind of crappy, just because uniform type of deal thing. But I don't know if you get these two teams calling after you. Just saying, man, he's gonna say no to both. These are probably two of the top five teams ever in FBS. I mean, you got Texas, USC. Who would you put in there? Notre Dame and Michigan. In Ohio State as a top, or maybe Alabama. Top, and throw in Alabama for six schools. How do you get two of the top six schools ever, and you just say, I'm not going to take your phone call at all?
He won't. I don't think he'll take the USC phone call. I think he will take the Texas phone call, but he won't take the USC.
I would prefer at this moment in time, I'll take Texas over USC in a second, because USC, they delayed their scholarship reduction.
Well, not only that,
and Texas has players. I know Texas has players. They have athletes and talent. USC on offense has nothing.
No.
And that's what Peterson's known for. He's not going to go in and be a defensive team.
No, and no, Chris Peterson. It's also the fact that, I mean, Texas, look out who Texas has been picking up in terms of assistants. They've been picking up, Brian Harsin. They've been picking up all these Boise State assistants.
Major Applewhite, former player.
Right. They're more likely to fit Chris Peterson's style than USC is.
True. Plus, I think here's the thing too. For Texas, USC just wants to do the standard pro style, which is perfectly fine, and previously can run that modified a bit. But Texas, they have just more athletes. But so at the end of the day, if I know we're 10 weeks too early for this stuff, but he assuming he's not going anywhere, right? Even if somehow,
I assume he's not going to go anywhere, but he's most likely if he went somewhere, it would be the Texas job.
One more. Throw in the scenario question that could throw everything off kilter. What if David Shaw from Stanford goes to USC? Would Peterson go to Stanford?
Yes.
Okay. So do you think that's that or Oregon would be the only job he would take?
I would say Stanford and, yeah, Stanford or Oregon.
Okay. Also, next head coach who could be on the move, just because, okay, Tim DeRuiter of Fresno State. We all know last season he kind of wanted or really wanted that Colorado job, but last year was his only year with a FBS head coaching job. He's been at Texas A&M, Air Force defensive coordinator, goes to Fresno. Would he even be – I don't know what USC is looking for, but how high do you think he'd be considered? I think he would be – he should be in the mix perhaps.
I think according to Bill Connolly, he is probably like a top candidate.
I didn't read all of Bill's piece about how to say no to USC or something, or why it's hard to win at USC. Is that the one you're?
I'm sorry. Was that no? That's not what I was. Shoot, okay. I'm trying to look. I'm looking. It was here. It was. They basically named 11 or 12 top candidates.
Oh, I read that too. Yeah, that was just kind of Pete speculative people who would be in the group. Yeah, I read that too. As just some, I forget who, but I did glance over that, like potential replacements at USC. Tim DeRuiter was mentioned there.
I'm sorry, that was Patrick Vint, our friend over at Black Heart Gold Pants. Yeah.
Theme song extraordinaire, right?
Pretty much.
I don't know if he does it, but his website does helped us get our theme song. Just kind of the.
But he definitely named Tim DeRuiter as somebody who would possibly be a good candidate to take over USC, and I agree with him.
But how I don't think he'll be close to getting that just because USC would rather want – they want. Here's the thing. They want the flashy hire, but they need to go for the reasonable hire. And Tim DeRuiter makes more sense than let's try to get Jeff Fisher. Because – not that we're going to go off on USC, but just because we're
all – Wait. John Gruden.
That name will come up, of course. His agent is the best anywhere to get him any job he might want to get. But, no, here's the thing why we – good to mention Route West, enough teams out here in the area could move on over there. But also, here's the thing, like they want to get the big name. Okay, Jeff Fisher, we all know, went to USC, coached NFL. If they could not get him when he was unemployed, how are they going to get him now as a head NFL coach? Because if I recall, he was not the head coach of the Titans when Lane Kiffin got hired. Or if not, it was his last season. That's why if they want a sensible hire, because they don't want to give a guy time to rebuild, which Tim DeRuiter could do. But I don't know. I think he's the only other option in the league that could go there. Dave Christensen, any chance maybe to run his offense out in UCLA?
No, I don't know.
Would Troy Calhoun, he's run an NFL offense before. Would he ever leave Air Force for USC?
No.
Because he turned down the Denver Broncos into Buffalo. Colorado Buffaloes. I don't know. Yeah. Those are two I kind of thought. I want to discuss that just because teams are the coaches from our particular league will get poached by everybody and anybody. So, yeah. So, no coaches going to USC from our league. Is that safe to say at this point in time?
I'm pretty sure it's safe to say.
At this point, we can't.
Football Bob! No.
Oh, jeez. USC did try to run the pistol, didn't they, a little bit?
poorly. Very.
I'm just wondering. I could be a bad memory or something about watching one of their games one time, but I think we've wrapped it up for tonight. This is a late show. Oh, great. We passed an hour already. Thanks for listening if you've managed to hang out this long on the show for us to discuss a super early Chris Peterson to USC or Texas positions, even though Mack Brown's still fully employed by that team. Do you have any parting shots for this odd week of games?
Nope. Time to prepare for the next week.
Next week will be much better. We got a couple games this week. Utah State, BYU on Friday night. I will love discussing that game because people say hate BYU. Can we openly say that you hate them? Is that safe to say?
I hate BYU.
And your hate oozes over to my hate, even though
I really hate BYU.
That's how we'll end the show. Chris?
I really hate BYU.
I am more objective for various reasons, but I don't hate them as much. Maybe dislike a little bit, but I know what's going on with that team, but we will discuss all those next week. And again, visit MWCConnection.com for all your Mountain West football and possible future coaching news upcoming in 10 weeks,
11 weeks, something like that.
All right, then everybody have a good rest of your day.